Okay, at this time, I'd like to convene a public comment session. The procedures of the board allow for a public comment session during each meeting. Each speaker is allotted 5 minutes to address the board. There are no substitutions for speakers. Before the speaker begins, I should mention that the tradition of the board has been to listen closely to what speakers have to say and ask questions only as necessary. I'm sure the speaker is happy to avail himself outside of the board meeting for question and answer sessions as appropriate. We appreciate the fact that we have guest speakers today, and we look forward to hearing from them. Our first speaker is Mr. George Ploss.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Thank you for having me. My name is George Ploss. I am a current student at the University of Illinois' Executive MBA program. I'm also a senior consultant at Oracle, and I'm here today to talk about the fact that I am part of the last class that the University of Illinois Executive MBA program will have. Unfortunately, the decision has been made a few months ago to shut the program down due to costs. Now, as an executive MBA student, I understand that. I understand the reality of it. But the fact of the matter is the state of Illinois has a budget now. And the executive program is a program that allows us to compete with top-tier institutions here in the Chicago market, such as the University of Chicago and Northwestern. And we're the only public executive MBA program that's offered in downtown Chicago. By shutting this program down, we'd be exiting the market. And we'd be cutting off engagement to Chicago executives here in downtown Chicago, and then also cutting engagement through a channel with alums in downtown Chicago also. I'm a year into the program, and it's really disheartening and unfortunate that it's come to a point where we have to start shutting down programs such as this in order to keep offering the type of education that we can offer as a school to our state. And I'm here today to ask the board to reconsider. I brought one of my fellow students here with me today. His name is Steve Whitehill. Steve, could you please stand? So Steve is a VP at JP Morgan, and he's an example of the type of students that we have in our executive program. And by shutting this program down, not only are students like Steve and myself not going to have an opportunity to both continue our education in parallel with our careers, but we would be forfeiting people like us and sending them to places such as the University of Chicago or Northwestern University. Now, I'm a Marine, and I'm in the Marine Corps Reserves, and one of the reasons why I chose the Executive MBA program is because it's the only state Executive MBA program that I can use my Illinois IVG benefits to go to school. Had I not had this opportunity, I would have had to give up my position and go back to school full time. Now, for some, that's an option, but the reason why executive MBA programs exist is because people, such as established professionals like myself, who have roots and families and careers, don't want to give that up, while at the same time don't want to give up their prospects for their education. So that's pretty much all I have to say. I think I'm well under the five-minute time limit, but I'd like to open it up to any questions that you may have.
Questions or comments? Thank you very much, Mr. Ploss.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Mr. Patrick Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon. My name is Patrick Thompson. I'm the president of VIA Inc. We are located out of Champaign Urbana, and we are a minority contractor. I am here today to speak on a issue that we are having, that we had on a contract that we bidded with the University of Illinois. back in May, we received a note. Back in May, we received a notice of award on Freer Hall. Rowe was the contractor. We filled out the financial disclosures, the conflict of interest forms, and we submitted those documents back to Rowe. And later, we found out that he walked away from the project. So I contacted the Capitals program, Michael Bass, and I said, "Hey, Mike, what's going on? What's the problem?" The contractor told me that he was backing out of the job. So one of my issues is that in those contract documents, when we sign those contract documents, when we get that notice of intent and we do those conflict of interest forms, then we are having a expectation that we are going to be issued a contract and we're going to be awarded the project. So we need to prepare to get on the job. We need to prepare for staffing, management, equipment, and those things. Now, part of those owner contract documents that that's in documents of the owner, that if a subcontractor or contractor can be terminated if they cause any delays or the work is unsatisfactory. So there's an expectation for us to be there when that schedule is started on the project. And so my question was, then I said, well, if they backed out of the contract, we didn't back out of the contract. If all these terms and conditions apply to us, then and they flow down through us from the owner to the prime to the subcontractor, then we also should have some rights as well. And when it comes to it, we don't have no rights. You know, our rights are very, very limited. And I've had this conversation. I've talked about this numerous times with the Capitals program, and so those things are still has not been resolved. The issue with our contract or our notice of intent has not been resolved. Secondly, we've had this similar problem with Rowe before on a previous project. We were doing a project with them. They called us out on the job. We mobilized, we got there, and they were not ready for us. So we had to assist them with some work that because they didn't have the manpower hours, some things got accidentally demoed, and we had to come back and correct those. So we had to pay for those. We were back charged for those for that. So we couldn't come and say, "Oh, well, sorry, it's an accident." You know, we had to pay for that. I contacted the diversity office. I forwarded them the email. I said, "Hey, here's the problem. This was going on." My response back from them was, "We'll be at the meeting." No one ever showed up. And, you know, so this is really, you know, as a business owner, you know, and we're part of a program, and we are considered at a disadvantage, you know. You know, where is the assistance or the support or the compliance to make sure that we are being equally and treated fair on these projects? So that was the second issue with them, with road construction. Now, I've met with Michael Bass for the last 6 years, and I've talked to Michael Bass about being able to bid as a prime contractor, unbundling, shelter market, split gold, the bid shopping, pass-through practices, our vulnerability to dispute resolutions and back charging, and then the delay in payment, which is we're not going to pay you until the owner pays us. You know, so we got all of these contract, you know, all these issues are flowing down from the owner contract through the prime to us. Now, I've asked, you know, I said, "Hey, Mike, look at this," you know, and he said, I understand the issues and we're going to make some changes." So I'm here again today, to talk about the split goals, talk about being able to bid as a prime contractor so that we can have some relationships, so that we can build some relationships with the university so we'd be able to also conduct business with the university. And those are the things that I am here today again, and if you like to speak to me about it in more in depth, I'll be here for a little while because I need to fight back through this Chicago traffic. I dread coming up here too, but again, I'm here again today to talk about this concern that I'm having, and I would like to be able to get some type of resolution to our issue with this notice of intent of award. And I've left you guys some flyers and other information so you can.
We have your materials.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Our final public speaker today is Mr. Todd Neely.
Good morning. My name is Todd Neely. I'm here as an Illinois graduate, BS General Engineering, 1977. So 40 years I've been cheering for the Illini. We've been to the Rose Bowl once and to the Final Four once. But I still bleed orange and blue. Today I'm going to talk about preventing sexual assaults on the campuses. Sexual assault occurring on college campuses is a nationwide crisis. The underlying statistics are 1 of 5 women will be sexually assaulted during their college years. 9 of 10 rape victims will not report their crime. And 7 of 10 victims know the rapist. Unfortunately, as you know, these nationwide statistics apply to Illinois equally. The core problem in this crisis is acquaintance rapes. Victims of acquaintance rapes, for a myriad of reasons, do not feel safe or comfortable enough to report the crime. Thus, acquaintance rapes are tragically underreported, victims do not get the help they need, and university campuses remain unsafe. Illinois sexual assault programs are woefully ineffective at preventing acquaintance rapes. Instead of tackling the problem, Illinois claims success by combating sexual assaults by filling out paperwork and issuing reports to satisfy state and federal laws. The administration proudly maintains that Illinois is in full legal compliance. Yet with only 10% of rape victims coming forward, Illinois' paperwork and mandated reports are extremely inaccurate as they ignore the 90% of victims who do not file a report. As an engineer, I saw a problem and developed a new program to end acquaintance rapes. My solution focuses on eliminating the core problem by utilizing advanced technology to achieve greater reporting, establishing clarity of consent, and issuing fair and unbiased enforcement procedures. As an Illinois graduate, I offered Illinois the opportunity to evaluate my program. The goal was for Illinois to proactively lead universities and colleges nationwide in preventing acquaintance rapes to make all campuses safer. By promoting a real solution to a national crisis, Illinois could reestablish itself as a true leader and once again be seen as an elite university. My solution was refused out of hand. The lack of action and concern for rape victims by the administration is indefensible. By maintaining the status quo, Illinois campuses remain unsafe and allow thousands of women to be raped every year. Given Illinois' appalling inaction toward stopping acquaintance rapes, 2 points I want to make perfectly clear. First, I am upset that the administration does not respect a degree from Illinois. To dismiss the possibility, a possible solution to this crisis for no reason is just wrong. To dismiss the possible solution proposed by an Illinois engineer shows complete contempt for the degree that they are responsible for granting. To me, there is no longer any mystery for Illinois Engineering, having slipped from being a top 5 engineering school 40 years ago to now being in the top 20 of public institutions. If Illinois' administration doesn't respect the degree, why should anybody else? Second, the thousands of women raped every year, Illinois sexual assault programs are clearly deficient. These This is logical given the purpose was partially finalized in a negotiated court settlement, not to solve the campus rape crisis. Sadly, many acquaintance rapes will occur next month will be due to the lack of action concerned by the university administration. The administration that you, the board of trustees, are responsible for. The administration had a choice to be proactive and stop acquaintance rapes before they occur, but instead chose to do nothing. I'm here to ask that you start to look at the 90% of women that do not report and help them come forward, look for other programs, whatever. You need to take action to make the campus safest. Thank you for your time. I hope you give some thought to these issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Neely.